Yeah, Sean, you know, it's great to have you on. And, you know, and many people, as we've talked before, a lot of people don't know, but you're the famous Ryan Leaf heckler from years back.
Yeah, you know, I just dug up that videotape because when that all went down, I don't know for any of the sports fans that are listening out there, when that all went down, we, you know, quickly grabbed the news bites from like all the networks that were playing it. And it's like, it's so crazy. I got to put that up on YouTube. It's pretty, it's like they said, an earthquake has struck Turkey, killing over 10,000 people. But right now we go to our top story. Someone is yelling at Ryan Leaf at training camp. So, that was a wild day, but yeah. I still live in infamy in San Diego over that incident.
In case anybody doesn't know, Sean and I are huge Charger fans. So, Sean, you got a new album out entitled The Supremacy of Steel, which I found to be just outstanding. And talk about the album and just talk about the response you've gotten from it and just kind of talk about the new record.
Well, it's always I'm always paranoid as you can be when we release a new record. We started out, you know, with such high praise on our very, very first record, unveiled, winning the Rock Hard Magazine's, you know, Best New Band of the Year competition in Europe, which really got us our big start over there. So it's like we somehow seem to have been able to top each album according to the critics. Everyone's got their individual favorites and stuff. And so, you know, I'm always, you know, freaking out when we're putting songs together. Like, is it good enough? Mm-hmm. You know, is it metal enough? And it's something about this record is really, you know, kind of bringing us slowly out of the underground. Or in Europe especially, I mean, the response has been, we've charted higher in all the sound checks than we ever had before. We got, there's the two big mags in Germany, for people that don't know, are Rock Hard, which we got number two on the sound check, which is more of a mainstream. I mean, we're like above Nickelback and Five Finger Death Punch, and they got a lot of mainstream rock bands in their charts, so that was the highest on that that magazine ever. And then we got Album of the Month again, number one on Heavy Magazine, which is probably the second biggest one, and we've gotten it four times in a row now. We're the only band to ever get four such awards, and we just broke King Diamond's record. So we were really, that was the one we were really shooting for. And I don't know, something about this album is really, I don't know, it's like legitimizes or something in the eyes of a lot of people out there.
Well, one of the things, Sean, that I've been a huge fan of this band for a while, and the biggest thing is that consistently your albums have gotten better. And I look back at all the lists of albums that I've made, and you guys have been the only band, I think, in the last, say, 5 or 6 years that every year you've gone up the list. And, you know, did you feel that this album, did you feel this, I'm sorry, can you?
Did I go ahead? Did I feel the album?
The album has always gone up the list for me. And, you know, what is it about this record? Did you think it would be as good as it was when it came out?
I mean, like I said, when we were writing the songs, I knew it was going to be good. I didn't, you know, I really like Science of Annihilation because that's when we first got our drummer, Norm Leggio, and we were able to really get faster and in the, you know, speed direction. And this, you know, there are a few more mid-tempo songs in this one. I knew the songs were really good, and this album is a lot more diverse than the last one. Even the song like Brain Dead Woman, which is a real, it's almost like an Oingo Boingo rock track or something. Uh-huh. People, you know, I was at risk to put that one on, and people really embraced it. And like I said, it's for some reason, there's something about it. We do all these interviews, and they're like, oh, it's like over-the-top metal, and it's so extreme. And I'm like, what? We're extreme? I mean, they're like putting Cradle of Filth up there, and they're calling us like, and so I think a lot of it also had to do initially with the album cover artwork. I mean, we put that out and people just like, oh my God, it's something ties what they're listening to with that, you know, Metal Gods presentation of that killer artwork on the cover. And the other thing that must be a testament to this album being, I don't know, one of our best is we just got our first Japan deal, which we've never gotten hardly any love from Japan, and we got a really good deal with a real good label in Japan, so it's our first Japanese deal, so something must be going right with this record.
Well, Sean, the other thing, too, that I've noticed is that, you know.
You there?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I lost you for a second. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, one of the things about this album that I really, really liked was the fact that your song, the band is, you guys are a really intense band. And, you know, going by your last couple of interviews that we did, that I did with you, just the intensity's up there. And talk a little bit about that.
You know, we got a new guitar player and a new bass player on this record. We had a, you know, long running lineup before, not a lot of member changes, even though we've been around 19 years now. And with, you know, Norm Leggio from Psychotic Waltz was in the last album, that really allowed us to, you know, really up the drumming performance. And now the new guitar player, Steve Brogdon, has, you know, he comes from a thrash background. He's a younger guy, but with kind of an old metal soul. He kind of likes all the same stuff we do. And so he was able to really, you know, lend a lot of really cool riffing and really help out with the songwriting. And then we got an amazing bass player who this is probably the first album you could really hear the bass guitar on it. And, you know, he can play the hell out of the bass, and you know everything's like 16th notes instead of quarter notes like it used to be before. So I'm sure that all contributed to it, and we were able to craft songs. It's all about the songs. I mean, it can all be great performances, but if you don't have the songs where they're going to be, you know, stand out and stick in people's minds, I mean, that's what we go for, and we have some good songs. And there's some other things we did, you know, for the first time. We always try to push the limits a little bit. We use some orchestration from our buddy Stu Marshall from a band called Empires of Eden in Australia on Bloodsteel, and then on Hell Destroyer versus Metal Devil. And then, like you hear on Bloodsteel, we come in with some blast beats, you know, full-on black metal blast beats. And so we always like to push the limits a little bit. And yeah, we definitely wanted to shock people with coming out of the gate with the Bloodsteel song.
Gotcha. So, well, we're going to play another song off the album now. We're going to play a song entitled Metal Empire, which I loved. So,
yeah, that one, that song, you know, I wish I remember. I've done a lot of interviews, and someone suggested that to me, because you guys need to write a song about, you know, heavy metal itself. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's kind of cheesy, but let me see. So I kind of took, you know, I took a run at it, and it came out real cool. You know, starts from the roots of metal and just what metal does for us, you know, how it makes us feel and what about it. From being a performer and being a fan, you know, this band was created just out of us being pure metal fans, not for any sense of glory or anything, just so that we could, back in the grunge days, just recreate the metal sound that we were so longing for. And this kind of personified it. The end line, grown men play metal, was funny because Dave and I were arguing about it. Like, you know, he's like, no, man, that's cheesy. We're going to say we're old now. Like, no, man, grown men play metal, man, not some little kids. You got to be a grown man to play this, and people will understand. And then a couple weeks ago, some guy did some, like, podcast where he, like, went off on how much he just loved the line, grown men play metal, and so I got to throw it in Dave's face. And I'm like, I see, dude, I told you. So it was good to be vindicated on that. But, yeah, once we go ahead and play it.
Okay. Well, Sean, it's great to have you on the show, like I said. And here we go. That is probably the best line. And that's the best line, I think, in my opinion, on that whole album.
Grown men play metal?
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty good stuff, man.
I love it. All right, cool.
So anyway, Sean, I have to ask you, and, you know, being in this band the entire time, you played a lot of shows, and I'm curious to hear, you know, you talk about you entered some competition with the very first album, and how did that actually happen? Like, you know, how did it happen that, you know, we talked a little bit about it, but, you know, how did they find you to enter you into this contest?
It was, you know, back in the doldrums of metal, and, you know, our unveiled album was like a mid-tempo, just old school heavy metal record. And we had just, you know, I'd spent a lot of money recording it, and the guy that we had, you know, that we had done the album with had all kinds of European connections, and we were all set to go, and move a lot of product and all this promotion. And then we had a big blowout, like the night of the CD release party, and, you know, he just, like, disappeared. So I was stuck with this record, like, and not one contact, you know, no connections. And I just got on the phone and kept calling, and it, like, once people heard of that album, just because there was such a hunger for just old-school heavy metal back in, like, 98, that one guy, you know, would hear it, and then he would call his other closet heavy metal friend and go, dude, have you heard this? And then a month later, I get this call from some guy answering my home phone, and the guy's like, hello, Sean, this is Klaus from Rock Hard, hello. And I'm like, you know, someone's messing with me. What is this? And he's like, oh, you're going to be on the compilation CD, and you are the first song. I'm like, okay, you know. So they didn't even say it was a contest. They just said we're going to be on a compilation CD for some big magazine out there. And we're like, all right, that sounds cool. So they sent us a copy, and it was the song Shoot to Kill. And, you know, of course it opens up with this big crazy scream. And then, like, a month later, he calls up, congratulations, you have won the contest. I'm like, what contest? He's like, it was voted on by the fans out of 700 bands, and the prize is you get to come play the Dynamo Fest in Holland. And that year it was like Metallica, Manowar, Cradle of Filth, I mean, System of a Down, Static X, Gamma Ray, Overkill. I mean, every band, literally there were so many bands. It's like every metal band you could just name was on it.
And you hurt yourself. You had to actually play it hurt, correct?
Oh, yeah. It just... A month before, I'd just been in a snowboarding accident where I, like, off the cliff and splattered on the rocks and life-flighted to Reno, Nevada, like the $6 million man where we can rebuild him. And, like, I'm all, literally on a walk. I just got off the walker literally, like, 5 days before the plane left. So I made it from the walker to the cane. You know, the doctor's like, you're not going to Holland and playing a show. You're out of your mind. I'm like, dude, you can wheel me up in a Hannibal Lecter, like, cage. I'm going to stand there. I'm going to go for it. You know, this is a dream come true for us. And so I just made it, you know, from the walker to the cane at that point. And, you know, the adrenaline was flowing. I summoned the will of the metal gods and was able to actually do the whole show without a cane, which was quite a task for me at the time because I had a whole reconstructed pelvis. And it was awesome. And then, you know, we got, you know, the record deal, and it all took off from there.
Well, for those of you that's joining us, we're with Sean from Cage, and he, of course, is in the band Cage. And Sean, I have to ask you, this is an interesting question. You obviously played some shows for this, but, you know, I'm interested to hear how the show with Blaze Bailey went. How did that go for you when you played with him?
Well, that was the Bang Your Head Festival, you know, and it's funny because we just did the show out here in San Diego with Blaze.
That's what I was asking. You played with Blaze out in San Diego. So did he remember what happened?
Oh man, it was. We had already been like emailing. You know, he emailed me and said, "Hey, we had already kind of made up online."
Yeah,
his wife died, and I sent him some condolences, and so we kind of made up. And then when he came out and we were going to play the show, he's like, "Hey, you want to come up and sing a song with me?" And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, that'd be cool." So we sang A Man on the Edge off the Maiden album, and that was me and him hit it like no pun intended, hit it off. I became a total Blaze Bailey fan after that show because, you know, I was like, yeah, the albums are pretty good, but I wasn't like that excited. But dude, the guy is a total performer, man. I mean, he knows how to work a crowd. He's like, he should like quit being in a metal band and be a motivational speaker. I mean, he was just cracking me up. For those of you, you know, if you get a chance to go see him, definitely go out next time. Because I mean, he's just like, live in the moment. Don't let anyone tell you you can't do it. You know, and he's just like going off. And like I said, the song we sang just went off killer. I mean, it was the whole place went nuts when I got up there. And we ended up, you know, becoming really good friends after all the drama that went down. And it was so funny because we were talking. It's like he was telling me how, like, before that incident happened with them, you know, for those who don't know, we got in like a scuffle at the Bang Your Head. It was big news. And he's like, I was having like the worst day of my life up to that point. And he was telling me, you know, that he like pounded a bottle of whiskey before we got our little scrap. But it was great hanging out with him. And like I said, now we're like best buddies. He's like, let's go to a tour. And it was cool. Traded a lot of, you know, insider secrets and stuff to help each other. It was great.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed, I've interviewed him before on the show a couple times. He's a pretty humble guy. He had a lot of bad things happen to him. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I thought he was a jerk and like the hell with this guy. And, you know, I'm 180 degrees turned around. He's like I said, his the way he works the crowd and his whole command of just talking to people was just like really, it's like Tony Robbins. He's going to be the Tony Robbins of metal.
So, you know, I have to ask you. Now, this is an interesting question. I have to ask you, man. You know, before I'm going to play another song here in a little bit, but I have to ask you, you know, how disappointed were you with the Chargers this year? I have to ask you that because...
Are we already on the Chargers? We're already gone straight to the Chargers. Okay. Yeah, last year I thought was an anomaly. I mean, I know we're out there in Cleveland and, like, Browns fans are going, oh, you poor guys, you're 8-8 with the Philip Rivers. Yeah, you guys got it so rough. But, you know, once you get on a roll, you know you got a good team, you get spoiled, especially being in the weak AFC West. And to lose six in a row is just in one debacle. I mean, the game they lost in overtime to Tebow in Denver, the game was so horrible. I was really rooting against the Chargers to lose. I'm like, please put us out of our misery. This is like run 1 yard up the middle for like 3 hours straight and punt. It was so horrible. And like, you know, I was telling you some stories off the air and everything, but I'm pretty vocal. I call the radio shows all the time, and people know me, you know, not just from the Ryan Leaf stuff, but I'm on the radio all the time out here talking Chargers. And I got a lot. I got Ryan Matthews, just the running back, just tweeted me back. I said, how come you play World of Warcraft and you don't play Madden? And he answered me and said, oh, because my brother beat me. My brother beat me 70-6, and yes, he blocked the field goal. And I'm like, okay, is Ryan Matthews calling an extra point a field goal? I'm starting to get a little worried about what we're doing. So, yeah, you know, it was a rough season, and keeping it all together, I'm fine with it for one more year to keep the coach and everything.
Yeah, that's cool. I gotcha. Well, you know, so I want to kind of get back, you know, so what's Cage doing right now? I mean, what do you guys have going on? Are you guys doing any tours? Are you guys going to be playing any shows over in Europe? And, you know, what does the band have going on as far as, you know, 2012 goes?
Right now, we're still, you know, heavy into the promotion of this album. We've got, like, a bunch of different touring, you know, maybe things happening. And so we're waiting for – that's why we haven't announced a tour yet. We're waiting for a lot of these bigger things to develop. Norm is playing with Psychotic Waltz. He's headlining the Keep It True Festival. They got back, his old band got back together. They're kind of like some prog metal, like Pioneers, for people who don't know about that. And they had a pretty big following in Europe. They just toured with Symphony X and Nevermore. And so he's doing a couple festivals with them. And we're just waiting for these, like I said, these touring offers to develop and see which ones really makes the most sense for us. But in the meantime, we've already begun our journey into the next album, and we've got really, really big plans for this next record. I can reveal to you and the listening audience and the people that are, you know, the fans out there, that this next record is going to be another concept album, but a little, you know, different direction than Hell Destroyer. This is going to be a horror story concept album in the vein of, you know, a King Diamond's Abigail or a Them or something. And I've already written like a 35-page single-space manuscript for the story. It's like I started out with this idea and I kept writing and writing. I'm like, oh my God, this thing is a freaking novel all of a sudden. So we all reviewed it. We let some people, you know, read it, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, we've got to make this happen. So we're going for it, and we're already, you know, we're already pretty deep into the material. And so people are like, oh, my God, this album just came out, and you're already on it. And like, yeah, we're already on it. We love making music. And this one's going to be real tough to, you know, to capture the magic of, you know, say, an Abigail or a Them out. But, you know, we've always risen to the task, and we're excited about giving it a try.
Well, I'm gonna take some fan questions here. I have some emails that were sent to me, you know, over the course of the show tonight, you know, from, you know, start of the show, and I want to, you know, these are pretty cool, and you know, I have some listeners. Actually, we have some listeners from some other countries checking us out, you know, through the web and stuff like that. So, first question is a guy named Michael. He's actually listening to us from New Zealand. So way down under. He's actually just emailed this about 5 minutes ago. But he wants to know, of all the bands you played with, you know, of all the bands you've seen live and played with, what was probably the best live band that you have ever seen?
The best live band I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, I go back to one of the greatest shows I ever saw was Crimson Glory on the Transcendence Tour. I saw them down in Tijuana, Mexico. They had this place called Iguanas, and it was like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. It's like all these layers of frickin' rows. You can look down on them. And I mean, I was totally into that album at the time. That probably had a lot to do with it. And that was Midnight, you know, who's now passed away. And they came out in all black leather and those half chrome masks. And it just freaking, you know, it just kicked my ass. And, you know, that's one of the, to me, one of the all-time greatest metal albums of all time, ever, anyways. That was a show that totally floored me. Another one that really was just sick was, I was right up front, you know, standing like 3 feet from Doro on the Warlock tour with, on that, whatever that album was, that album.
Triumph and Agony, I think.
Yeah, right. And she was just so damn hot. I mean, I was just making the most rude gestures and comments to her, like, "Yes, I want to be with you tonight, baby." For, you know, I must have been so distracted to her. But that, I was also totally into that album at the time. That was the two shows that really stand out. Believe it or not, the cool thing about Crimson Glory was at the 2009 Prog Power, I got to go, up on stage with Crimson Glory. And you know, John Drennan called me up, and I was kind of a fanboy, and he's like, "Hey, man, do you want to sing a song or two?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Which ones?" I go, "Red Sharks and Mask of the Red Death." Like the two best songs. And he's like, "Okay, yeah, you can sing those." I'm like, "You know, I thought they would have already been taken for sure." He's like, "Yeah, you can sing them." And I ended up just doing Red Sharks, which is, you know, their most badass tune.
Well, you know, Red Sharks is also, you got to hit some high registers on that too.
Oh yeah, you know, and of course I had to do all. We played our set earlier that day, and so like 6 hours later, I had to get up just cold and just come on in front of, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 people with this nail, Red Sharks, just freaking out of the gate. And I did pretty good, man. I hit all the freaking super high notes. I sang it with the dude from Pagan's Mind, is a good singer. But
yep.
He took all the easy stuff, and I took all the hard stuff, and I'm like, "All right, baby, this is how the Red Sharks." It was a killer moment. You know, to go full circle from being fanboy in the audience to like singing it on stage with them.
Well, next question is from Jeremy out in Illinois. He, you know, basically there's two things. One thing, he said that he loved the packaging of the new album. And, you know, he said that, you know, basically the email reads, "The new packaging of the new album I thought was outstanding, and I wish more bands would do this." And then the actual second part of the email, he asks, "Have you guys thought about maybe touring the U.S. again? And, you know, would you stop by Chicago?"
That was one of the last shows we just did. We just played Chicago at that Ragnarok Fest. That's going to be a cool fest out there again in Chicago. I think it's in April with Virgin Steel, and I should give them a little plug. These guys are really doing their best to put on a killer, like, true metal fest. Virgin Steel and Skullview and I think Wizard, who we played with in Europe. So everyone should go out. I think it's in April, Ragnarok Fest. Look it up. It's going to be a killer two-day fest, and those guys just go off, and they really deserve some support. But, yeah, I mean, we've got, you know, one of our old guitar players, and, like, we've got, like, some real good, you know, homies in Chicago, and lots of great friends. Slaughter Extroyers are friends in that band out there. That's like our second home. So, yeah, we'll definitely, our whole plan is we're going to be touring probably more than ever before. We're really putting the pedal to the metal on it. And as far as the packaging goes, yeah, I defy anybody to look at that booklet. I know I'm bragging. You know, I'm always, I'm not afraid to say how proud I am of the packaging. If you look at that booklet, I defy anyone to grab another heavy metal booklet out of their catalog and go page by page. And that thing is just full color, packed full of art. I got like 5 artists. You know, it's a 16-panel booklet. We always go, you know, the people put, you know, out their hard-earned money, you know, to buy the Cage stuff. We got killer loyal fans. We got a lot of pre-orders this year, and we sent out just an amazing pre-order package, just packed full of crap. And the, you know, the compliments we got from all the media and the fans on the book, it was just like, dude, every page. But that's how it was, you know, when I, you know, again, this just comes from a metal fan, you know. When we did the album cover, Mark Sasso, who's, you know, done the last four, is like, you know, it's a little too busy for me. And I'm like, dude, you don't understand. You know, when you put this album on, you want to lay back in your room, crank it, like, obnoxiously loud, and just stare at that album cover for, like, an hour, you know, and discover all the new little things in it. And as well as the booklet, too. I mean, I remember getting a freestyle. I would read every word, look at every page, every frickin' the copyright symbol, who they thanked, you know. I was into it. I wanted to know just everything about it. And that's why we make the booklet so elaborate, even though, you know, our business partners say, no, you know, just have them go online and click the link and see the booklet. No, no, no. We're putting, you know, an A1 package out. And all our fans know that, that when they, you know, when they buy it, they're going to get, like, you know, way big bang for their buck.
Yeah, I have to say that I really, really dig the album cover, the packaging. I think it's all really cool, Sean. And I really, you know, again, some of these guys, you know, a lot of fans, I had a lot of really great feedback on the album. You know, when I, you know, when the album came out, you know, I had a lot of people emailing me, honestly, that were really wanting to want to hear songs off of it. And I think it's really cool. It's a good response because, you know, every album you've put out has had a much better response each time you put it out.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, I don't know, you know, my favorite bands, I don't know, you know, a lot of my favorite bands, their first album was their best album or their third album. It's hard to find anyone who, like, the albums are all good all the way through and they just keep getting better. I mean, Priest, you know, with Painkiller, they got so many records and they're all great, but, you know, of course, the style I like, I love the Painkiller album, and everyone's like, well, do another Painkiller, you know, and I was talking to Roy Z about that, and he's like, you know, Painkiller was one of their worst-selling records, and I'm like, I don't care how many copies it sold, man. I want to hear the speed-screamingness of that kind of thing, and that's, again, that's, you know, we do it to just in the concept of, we've been playing a lot of all-ages shows of, like, what is it, you know, that it comes out in a song that makes me want to go raise my fist in the air and fight my way to the front of the stage and just, like, bang my head, or, you know, replay the song over and over again. And those are the elements we search for and try and put in the songs as we craft them.
Well, I got another email question here that I wanted to read to you. And this next question is, it comes from Jared in Louisiana, and he wants to know, have you ever thought about teaching vocal lessons?
I get asked that all the time. I mean, you know, I just, the last Midwest run we did, I had all these people come up and go like, yes, I'd like to, can you give me some Skype lessons? And, you know, I probably could, but to me, you know, vocal lessons is, boy, I've watched a lot of videos. I've never really taken any lessons. My whole background was I was just like this class clown, you know, kid with a big mouth in like third grade making funny voices and stuff. And then I got into metal really late, and, you know, all my some friends play guitar and stuff. I'm like, man, playing guitar, that's too much work. I'll just become a world-class, you know, heavy metal singer. It's way easier to do that. And so, like, I had no singing experience, no lessons, no nothing. Just by, you know, being a frickin' voice imitator. And the real trick is being able to establish your own sound and not be a copycat. And eventually I was able to do that. And I'm singing better now than I ever have, I think, ever before. I mean, I can do things now consistently that I couldn't do even, you know, say 4 years ago. And I'm really excited about that, you know, at my age, being able to, I get a lot of people like going, you know, you should just tune the band down and then you can sing everything lower. I'm like, I have tuning anything down, are you kidding me? That would be sacrilege. I feel like, you know, and people are like going, oh, there's this harmonizer pedal and then, you know, you can, I'm like, how about you? I would feel disgusted to have, you know, to sample in backing vocals. It's not, you know, our backing vocals are really great. We work a lot on that live. Yeah, I would, you know, I just, the metal has just got to be the authentic thing, and all I need is a little bit of delay, but to tell someone how to, like, sing and describe it, I mean, I can see describing some of them, but I just, I wouldn't quite know what it would take to, you know, to get the most out of the person. But I've helped people before, you know, on their own. But I don't know. Maybe when I'm 70, I'll start doing Sean's Skype. By the time I'm 70, it'll be like Sean's holographic singing lessons. It'll be like Star Wars. They'll project me into their room, and I'll give lessons.
Well,
I did have an idea though that someone should steal. I want to do an exercise tape where you act like you're a lead singer and you run around the stage and you do all the headbanging moves and stuff. It's called Heavy Metal Singer 6 Minute Abs, something like that.
Well, I have to say, Sean, it's fun to have you on. And again, you know, probably one of the more, I guess, of all the listeners to the show, one of their favorite people to actually have on the show. And I have to tell you, I thank you for coming on. And we're going to end off the hour with basically the song Flying Fortress.
Yes, very cool. I don't know what other bands can sound like King Diamond, Painkiller, and Sabaton all on the same album. That was, if you want to hear a little story behind that, that's funny because I had sang kind of like, we were calling it Damsel in Distress. It was kind of like a Desert Plains kind of love song thing. And I still really love the version I did. I went in and sang it, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then, like, a couple guys in the band are like, no, dude, come on, man. You've got to do something badass. And I'm like, oh, come on. So I went in and I wrote, it was done by our old guitarist, Anthony McGinnis. He's like, yeah, I kind of imagine, like, one of those, you know, those old-time bomber planes. I'm like, so I started looking, you know, I like to do a lot of research, and I like to, you know, have some historical reference. So I did the song about the attack on Schweinfurt, Germany, and which basically attacked a ball bearing factory to stop the Messerschmitt production. It was like a key, you know, battle air battle. So I learned all about it, crafted the lyrics for it, and I started singing like the Sabaton guy, like as a joke. And Dave was recording me. He's like, no, man, keep doing that. So that was like what you hear on that song was the first time I've ever sang like that, like the first take, no practice. And like I'm just doing it as a joke. And it actually came out really good. We even made a music video about it. But if I'm going to let you go, thank you to everybody. Thanks for having me on. And cageheavymetal.com, cageheavymetal.com, and Facebook, Cage Official Page. We love hearing from all the fans, and we always love chatting with people. So at cageheavymetal.com, you can find all the product you want. We got killer new shirts, too, for Supremacy of Steel. You got to check them out.
Sounds good. Well, Sean, hold on the line for 1 second. And again, I thank you for coming on, and a lot of fun yet again, dude.
Goodbye, Cleveland.